Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. William Booth founded the Salvation Army. Nearing death, his last message to an annual conference came in a telegram. It contained only one word, others. What will your epitaph be as you near your finish line? Will it be, I met my needs first? Please stay tuned. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is on finding community within the church, and today's message is on finding community in suffering. Turn with us to Romans 12 as Erwin Lutzer reminds us what we're called to do.
We're called as a caring community to pray for one another. We know one another's needs. We know the lay of the land. We know what they're going through. We experience some of the hurt that they are experiencing. Because they are hurt, we grieve. We weep with them because they are weeping. And in the process, we are lifting our hearts to God. And God keeps unifying us. And God keeps bringing us together. It's the power of community. Pastor Milka was sharing with some of us that in the refugee camp, there are students who get to go out of the refugee camp to the city and go to the university where their conditions are so much better. They have a place to stay there and they're not starving. And yet they'll come back to the camp because of community. That's where their relatives are. That's where their friends are. It's the power of this connectedness that brings people together. And in the case of believers, they strive together in prayer and God begins to meet them at these deep levels. And for some of us who haven't cried for a long time or shown emotions for a long time, in the process, you see, of accepting and bearing and praying, God begins to open us up and we begin to give our lives to others so that they too may be blessed and helped. You know, one of the problems with people who want to give comfort is that if they do not do it with feeling, if it is superficial, it can hurt so much because there's been no praying and no bearing and no accepting. Many years ago, you remember, we lost a granddaughter who was stillborn. And I asked my daughter, I said, what comments were made by people that hurt the most deeply? Some of you widows know comments made at funerals that hurt deeply. She said, one person said to them, oh, you'll get over it. God will give you another child. Oh, well, thanks a lot. Really do appreciate that. Another one said, well, you know, she is better off. She's in heaven. Now, mind you, you aren't going to be able to hold her or to comb her hair, but she is better off. And then how do you like this one? Well, why did you want a girl anyway? Somebody said to them. You see, we could go on and I could list what other people have told me, but the bottom line with all of those comments is this. They are said without feeling. They are said superficially. Listen, when you are going through a trial, when you are going through loss, when your husband dies or your wife dies or a child dies, it is much more important to you what people feel than what they know or what they say. That's why the text says we should weep with those who weep, because God knew that that connectedness is the means of healing. It isn't some profound statement or much less some superficial, silly statement as people sometimes make. Now, as we begin to think about what this means to us as a church, how do we bring this down? First of all, number one, I think we should be more concerned about the health of the body than the size of the body. More concerned about the health of the body than the size of the body, because if we take care of the health, the body will grow. I'm convinced of that. And the way in which this happens, you see, is through connections. What happens when a person walks away from God? He's a believer, but he's not walking with God. He's maybe into immorality or into some sin. Maybe he is siphoning funds from the company. Immediately he drops out of church. We look around, we say, well, you know, he hasn't been coming to church for a month or two. And we say, well, why isn't he coming to church? Is it because he couldn't? Is it because his schedule does not allow him? No, it has nothing to do with that. I'll tell you why. It is because, you see, in the process of gathering with other believers, they become a mirror by which we see ourselves. And if we don't want to see who we are, we don't stand in front of a mirror. But that's how we function as the body of Christ. When I come here to minister, and when I'm ministering with believers, I always try to make sure that all of my sins are confessed, because if they aren't, as I look into the eyes of some of my prayer partners or some of the staff, my sins come before me and I remember what they are, and I say, I have to go to the closet and get this confessed, because I can't live a lie in the presence of other believers who are open and who are accepting me and who believe in me. And that's why disconnectedness from the body is so serious. There's a man by the name of David Brenner who wrote in a book on pastoral counseling. He said, the heart must tell its own story, and it needs the mirror of someone's understanding to find its way to feel again. Some of you are too hurt to feel. Even today, you're too hurt to feel. You have to find a way to feel again. He says, in the mirror of someone's presence, the lost and wounded heart may find its way through emotions once silenced. Those emotions find their way to heal. And you see, that's how the body heals itself. It's through our ability to accept, our ability to care, our ability to be connected, to be interrelated, and to say that what happens in your life matters to me. And hopefully what happens in my life matters to you, because we can't do this alone. We have a vision and we have a mission, but most assuredly as a church, we have to be healthy. And we have the potential in this congregation to be incredibly healthy. When I think of the potential, when I think of the hearts that are listening to this message, God may do something so mighty among us that the sense of love and caring and connectedness could transcend anything that could be spoken from this pulpit. And people would say, behold how they love one another. The health of the body, I think, is more important than its size. Secondly, we must be willing to die together that we might live together. We must be willing to die together that we might live together. Don't misunderstand and think that all that we need is to be together, because togetherness can be very superficial. I'm thinking of a Christian man who was out golfing with some other Christian friends one morning, and he did not tell them that the very next day he was contemplating suicide. He tried to do it because he was going through such depression and so many problems in his life. And you say, well, I don't understand this. Here are Christians, they're on the golf course, and what are they talking about? Their golf scores? Here are hurting people, but unless there's that sense of openness and connection, people retain within themselves their pain and their hurt because they don't feel secure that they can share it, and consequently, even though they are with others, they still are, to use a phrase, alone in the crowd. So we must die together in vulnerability, in openness, that others would say, you know, it's okay for me to connect to this person. Even though I'm imperfect, though I'm going through this struggle, it's okay. You see, what I long for is real people broken by God at the foot of the cross. And if we are broken by God at the foot of the cross, people are attracted to us because they know that we are not the judgmentalists, the moralists, the superficialists. We are people who really do care about the body. Many years ago, I was in the California Redwoods. A friend of mine gave me a message that was actually based on that someone gave about the redwood trees and using it as a sermon illustration. Redwoods actually do have very shallow roots. But the reason that they don't blow over, and you remember they grow hundreds of feet into the sky, they are just gorgeous to look at. The reason that they don't blow over is because their shallow root system is interconnected. They connect with one another. In fact, they share nutrition with one another. If one tree is beside some water, that tree will actually give some of its water through the root system to other trees so that they can be strong too. That's the body of Jesus Christ operating. So that when you come apart, we hold you together. So when our shallow roots want to give in, there are other roots that interconnect with us. You cannot, that's why it is so wrong-headed, so terribly wrong-headed to think, as that one book seemed to indicate, that the day will come when people won't go to church, they'll just sit by their computers and listen to a sermon. mean, it's missing the whole point of the body of Christ. It isn't just a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of connectedness with other human beings who hurt and who have pains and who have joys and who have sorrows. And we rejoice in those joys. And we sorrow in those sorrows. So first of all, the redwoods have shallow roots, but they're strengthened because of their interconnectedness. In fact, I didn't know this, but for 100 years, the Park Service tried to keep fire from harming the redwoods. Now they actually begin fires among them because they discovered that the fire purifies the underbrush. The fire causes the redwood seeds to activate. It does a lot of devastation, but when they regrow, they are more magnificent than before. Isn't it interesting that we accept Christ as Savior? And then after we're saved, we think everything is going to go fine, and Jesus comes along with a matchbox and says, you know, I'm going to start some fires. I'm going to do a little bit of damage here. There's too much underbrush. Too much glorification in things that don't belong to me. And so he begins those fires. There's something else I noticed about the redwoods when I personally observed them, and that is that if one is cut down and lying down, out of that dead, felled tree, other trees will grow straight into the sky, and they will use the dead tree as, again, part of their root system. They are indeed amazing. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. As long as we refuse to fall into the ground and die, we will live individual lives. We'll say, I need the body when I need something, but I can have this little thing going on between Jesus and me. I don't need other Christians. I don't need to commit myself to a congregation. I can be on the sidelines. I can enjoy the singing, maybe at times even the preaching. But apart from that, I don't really need body life. Well, my dear friend, you need it. I need it. We can't exist without it. And through it, God revitalizes the church, and out of our own death, life comes. Vision for Moody, community, caring, connected community. That's what God wants to do in my life. That's what He wants to do in your life. And don't leave here today or any day unless you've connected with the body. Let's pray.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I need to say this very clearly. There may be some of you who perhaps are disconnected from the body because you've had a bad experience. People have disappointed you. They have hurt you. Could I encourage you to lay all that down and reconnect with the body of Jesus Christ? Father, I ask in Christ's name that through your power that the body may be connected, and for those who are deeply hurt, help them to trust again, to love again, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Finding Community in Suffering, the third in a four-part series on finding community within the church. This series can be yours on CD. All four messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.